Good to be back again, and it's good for you to have me back. And it's nice to be here with a couple of my friends whom I've known for a long time, the Belchers. You're very privileged to have them, because they were members of the church I pastored for, I don't know how many years, a lot of years. And it was a great privilege to pastor them. What a prayer this man is. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What a prayer. It's a privilege to have him. Well, let me pray. Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Baruch Hashem, Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach. Baruch Haba, Yeshua Yamashiach Hashem Adonai. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall love him with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your flesh, all your strength. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Blessed is he, Jesus, who came and will come again in the name of the Lord. Oh, how God loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us so much that the very word of the Father became like us. God the Father spoke a word, and the word became flesh, became a human being, and dwelt among us. That never, I've been a Christian for, since 1977, how many years is that? 43 years. And that never ceases to amaze me. That the God of the universe, the one through whom all things were created, became like you and like me. Incredible, isn't it? He left his glory to come to be like us. And he didn't just come to be like us. He came to be executed. He came to die on the altar of the cross. And he did that to satisfy the perfect justice of the Father. Jesus became unrighteous on the cross so that we could become his righteousness. That's not fair, is it? It's not a very fair exchange. But he did it. He did it for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Father, it said, the Father made Yeshua, Jesus, the perfect one, to be sin. It doesn't say sins, does it, with an S on the end of it. It says sin. He took our very sinful nature. Now let me say this, hope it's not too offensive, but it is the nature of the devil, the nature of sin, is upon every human being. And he, the Father, took that nature and put it upon Jesus and took his righteousness and put it upon me and you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He did that for us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22 says this. This is an amazing scripture. Jesus presents us to the Father. I'm not saying it exactly as it is. Jesus presents us before the Father irreproachable. Irreproachable. You should all know what that means. It means that we are beyond reproach when we stand before the Father. Beyond reproach. I'm full of reproach. I have to come to the Father every day, do you? And ask forgiveness for my weaknesses and sin. And yet the scripture says that Jesus presents us to the Father beyond reproach. Oh, that's incredible. Incredible. And he rose from the grave after his execution for us, a glorified human being. And 40 days later, he ascended to sit as a glorified human being at his Father's right hand. As a glorified human being. See, Christ's humility, or the creator of the universe's humility, was not just a temporary humility. He didn't become a human being temporarily and then go back to heaven and be part of his glory that he had before. His humility is a permanent humility. He is still a human being right now at the right hand of the Father, glorified, a glorified human being. Excuse me, but a human being still. He became like us so that you and I could become like him. He became like us so that you and I could become like him. Philippians 3:20 says, he will, listen, he will transform your lowly body. Lowly, it's called. This lowly, sinful body to be like his glorious body. Oh, what love is this? What love is this? That the God of the universe would do that. What love is this? I heard recently of a pastor who was having lunch with some non-Christian friends. And these non-Christian friends said to him, this God of love that you talk about, this God of love, how can he be a loving God when he created something like hell? How can he be a loving God? What do you think the reply would be? What an opportunity for the gospel. Amen. What love is this? That God would become a human being to save us from that place. But he didn't. He softened the narrative and changed the whole concept of hell to be something unscriptural. Let's put it that way. I won't tell you exactly what he said. Shocking. But this is quite common today. Quite common. Everything is being soften. But the love of God, the love that God showed for us by becoming a human being is wonderful. It is the gospel. It is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Can you say amen? And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Joy. And yet we see that he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane great fear? Did he not? Remember that Jesus is a human being. And in his flesh, like any human being, to know what he was going to have to go through, not just physically, but spiritually, brought him fear in his physical, in his flesh. Yet in his spirit, there was joy. And he said to his Father, "Not my will, not my fleshly will, but your will be done." And what was the joy that was set before him? Our salvation, our redemption from sin and its eternal consequence, hell. Hell, not mentioned very much nowadays, is it? But that's the eternal consequence. That's why Jesus came, to save us from eternal torments. And the other joy he saw before him was our eternal inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says that that inheritance is reserved for you and for me. Where? In heaven. He came to be like us so that we could be like him and reign with him throughout eternity. You know the song, brother? All hail King Jesus. Who knows that song? Let's sing it. No need for the guitar. Let's just sing it. All hail King Jesus. All hail Now, if Jesus had that joy of knowing that he would secure our inheritance, how much more should you be joyful? We shouldn't have any Christians baptized in lemon juice, as Derek Prince used to say, I think. Should we? If we know that inheritance, we should be joyful. Right now in Israel, they are in the middle week, the great week of the Feast of Tabernacles. A great feast of joy. Great joy, even in the midst now of that pandemic. They are expressing great joy. They are celebrating the great feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Michael and Teresa, who come here, will be able to explain much more than I can about that. But they are celebrating with great joy, with feasting and with dancing. What are they celebrating? They're celebrating God's provision. God's provision of the children of Israel in the wilderness thousands of years ago. I've been there and I've joined with them in that celebration. And truly, they do celebrate. They have such joy in God's provision in the wilderness. How much more joy should we have who have the fullness of that provision in the Jewish Messiah? My dear brethren, we have an eternal inheritance, unimaginable glory. Unimaginable glory. We can't imagine the glory that it will be. It's just unimaginable. And we need to keep that glory. We need to keep that inheritance as an eternal vision before us at all times. At all times. I want to read some scripture to you from Ephesians chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles, you know, when I do have down times, and I do now and again, my wife will tell you, she knows more about it than I do, I think, probably, my downtime. I love to read the first two chapters of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read from verse 16. Paul speaking, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, this is what Paul is praying for us, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? We need to have that before us all the time. And as things get worse, and they will, that is what will sustain us. Everything in this world, from a Christian perspective, is shaking right now. Is that right? From a Christian perspective, everything in this world is shaking. It's easy to become disillusioned. So we need to know the truth of the eternal vision and always keep it before us. Just to mention a few things as I come towards closing now. The very foundation of our Judeo-Christian culture, that culture which has its roots in this book, is being shaken to its very core. Things that are called sin and abomination in the scriptures, and this I mentioned this last time I was with you, things that are mentioned sin and abomination in the scriptures are now considered good or even wholesome by our society and are even enshrined in law. We know what those things are, don't we? I want to give you an illustration. I watched just the other night, I was watching Fox News, and They were talking about the nomination by Donald Trump of Amy Coney Barrett to replace whatever her name was, Ginsburg, on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Now, this is so important, not just for them, but for us. This is so important. The United States of America is the only nation in the world that's left that could be even closely called a Christian nation. Even closely. I mean, there's much of it that isn't. Is that right? Now, this woman is a charismatic, born-again Christian. And a man named Chuck Schumer, who is the leader of, he's a senator, who's the leader of the Senate Democrats, said this publicly. This woman, he said, is against everything we hold dear in America. That's what he said. And then he went on and said about four things. But by the time I got off the floor, so shocked nearly, I missed some of them. But he said this, she's against everything we hold dear in the United States of America. Women's reproductive rights, he said, aka abortion. Is that right? LGBT rights, he said, aka homosexual perversion and the changing of genders. These things, he said, are what we hold dear in the United States of America. God says that evil will be called good and good will be called evil. And those who make a stand against these evil are themselves branded as evil. You will be branded as evil in the future, or even now, if you make a stand. Even now, as you make a stand against these things. Everything, my friends, is being shaken. And God says the only part of the creation that cannot be shaken is the eternal. Is that right? That's what he says. Philippians 3:20 tells us we are citizens of heaven. That's where your passport's stamped. Heaven. So let us be encouraged with the eternal vision. Friends, in this physical realm, we need the knowledge of the eternal firmly entrenched on our minds and on our spirits. And if we do, then we know that no matter what happens in this realm, we have a guarantee of eternity. Should that bring us joy? Amen. It should. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for our Savior, Yeshua. We thank you, Lord, that your word tells us that he had joy to go to the cross for our sakes. And we thank you, Lord, that your word declares that when he brings us before you, we are irreproachable in your sight because of what Jesus has done for us. Help us, Lord, as we go into this future, so uncertain in some ways, yet certain in others in our inheritance. Help us, Lord, to have that joy that was set before Jesus also in our hearts. I pray in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. God bless you.